Our show's name pays tribute to the Boer Trekkers of South Africa, who in 1838 soundly defeated 30,000 Zulus on the bank of the Nkomo River, thereafter called Blood River, from the water turning red with the blood of the slain. Miraculously, no Boer Trekker died and only three were wounded. Now, your friend, Eddie Miller, will be your ambassador for tonight's show.
Dear Blood River Radio family, this has been the most enjoyable program. I'll tell you what, we have a good family here. I guess you can call us a crew, but it just, one person doesn't have to work themselves to death. And you know, there's many hands make light work. And there's more knowledge. You know, naturally, two people will know more than one, three more than two, et cetera, et cetera. But we have a lady on, and Mr. Gene, the Bitter Ender himself, Gene the Bitter Ender Andrews, he's been off a while because he's having to have special swords made. These little, you know, titanium swords, they're just not holding up. He's just too damn rough on them. But he's back. He has a new manufacturer. They're supposed to be guaranteed to at least 15 Yankees, but we'll see, because Gene's got to learn to not hit so hard. But anyway, how you doing tonight, Bitter Ender?
Doing fine, Eddie. Great to hear from you again. We've had two or three weekends of Confederate events, and one of the events that we had was a group that came to the Forest home there in Chapel Hill for a tour and had a meeting close by called the Southern Independence Association. And I got the opportunity to meet a very charming young lady back the first weekend in March. And we set up this meeting that they wanted to come to the Forest home. And we were so glad to have them out there. And they invited me to come to their meeting, a luncheon that they had over toward Columbia, Tennessee, and got a lot of information on the Southern Independence Association. And the lady that's head of that is Mindy Esposito. And with that introduction, I would like to have her come on the air and give a little bit more information about her organization and what they're doing and their goals in for the South, and really, I guess, try to save the entire country, but the South mainly. So, Mindy, could you take it over from here and tell us a little bit about yourself and the organization?
Hi, Gene. It's nice to talk to you again. I don't think we can save the whole country, but we're trying to save the South, that's for sure. The Southern Independence Association, really we have a three-part mission. The first is to take back our state's rights, our 10th Amendment rights, through our local and state governments, and nullify unconstitutional federal laws if need be. Our second mission is to take care of our history and our heritage, to protect it. That's monuments, cemeteries, memorials, that sort of thing, and to put new ones up. And the third, and probably I think the most important thing, is to take back the education of our children. We feel they've been indoctrinated for the past 50 years, and they don't know our history. They don't know, and once they do know, in my own experience, they love the history as well as we do.
Well, I think is probably, as you said, the most important thing there, because we've raised two, maybe three generations of American citizens that are really, really pitifully ignorant of their history, and that's not by accident.
It's by design.
Yeah, absolutely. The dumber the people are, the easier they are to control. And that way the government can create a crisis and tell them that, well, we need more government because we're the only people that can solve this crisis. You people out there are just too dumb to do anything about it. So I think you're right there. That is probably the most important point.
We have a lot of friends in the North, too. They used to be called Copperheads, but we have pockets all over the country, really. I mean, even in places you wouldn't suspect, like New York State and Vermont and places like that. So we welcome them as well.
Yes, I think a lot of the people up there, well, they're all moving down here. That's one thing right there.
Yeah,
so I think they're abandoning these cities that have turned into just unlivable rat holes. And it doesn't take them long to figure out when it's not even safe to go out in your own neighborhood at night. There's something desperately wrong with the way these cities are being run.
There's a whole generation of people that want communism. They don't know what it is. I mean, you and I grew up when that was not a good thing. And
right.
if you study like the Russian Revolution and the Bolsheviks, you see that a lot of the things that they did are happening in our own country. And it's scary, but there are a lot of young people who think that's the greatest thing since sliced bread. I met a couple of college students the other day, and when I told them that our rights are God-given, the government does not give us our rights, the government protects our rights, they laughed at me. They said, where is that? You know, and I pulled it up and showed them where it was in the Declaration of Independence. And they said, well, that's just a quaint antique of it doesn't apply anymore. They don't even see how the Constitution protects them. And that's mm-hmm. and again scary. by design, I think.
Yeah, scary.
Oh, that is pitiful that they believe that and can't see what's happening to them. And actually, it goes back, and I think we've talked on this on the program before. It started with that Frankfurt School in Germany in the 1920s and 30s, and they were trying to get a communist revolution. The Bolsheviks were trying to get communist revolutions in Europe after World War One, especially in 1919, and they thought the workers were going to rise up and join the communist movement and sweep out all these old governments. Well, the workers weren't really that bad off. I mean, they were surviving, so they didn't want to risk their lives out in the streets. So the people and the communists and the Frankfurt School, they were a lot smarter than we were. And they said, all right, we're changing our strategy. We're going to make the long march through the institutions. And it'll take a long time, but it will work to take over the education, to take over the entertainment industry, to take over the news media, and propagandize what we're trying to do. And then Chancellor Hitler came along, and since most of them were Jews anyway, they got kicked out of Germany, wound up in New York at NYU. And that's how it got over here. And then they split off, some of them split off, went to University of California at Berkeley out there. And so it got a hold here, and it's been expanding ever since. And it's really to our detriment that we can't understand that. We fight these culture wars that Dr. Samuel Francis talked about. And us as conservatives, we feel like when we beat them back at a school board meeting or save one monument or do something like that, well, that's it. We've won, and we've got to go to work Monday morning, and that's it. We let it go. But these people never give up. They lose one battle, they just shift gears and slide around to another direction and come in from a back door somewhere else.
And that's what we have to do. But and that's part of what the Southern Independence Association is about. There are all kinds of Confederate groups and conservative groups and fundamental constitutional groups around. But they're small, and they don't make that big of an impact. So we're hoping to be more of an umbrella-type organization where everybody can come together. It doesn't matter what group you are, and we can help each other. And if we need a presence in Richmond, for example, we've got something going on up there. We all band together. I don't care if you're from Mississippi or Alabama or Georgia. We band together, and we fight it. It's the only way we're going to get ahead, because as little groups and not knowing what one group is doing, we don't make a big enough impact. If we're going to affect change, we have to be a big enough group of people, a big enough voting block that our elected officials have to listen to us. That's what we're trying to do.
Right. Oh, yeah.
Yeah, now, absolutely.
Now, tell me, and let's tell our listeners, don't you have something scheduled for next weekend, the 29th, down at Stone Mountain?
Next weekend, we're going to the Stone Mountain, I guess it's the Stone Mountain Memorial Day. It's the end of Confederate History Month. And the SCV has a big program down there that day. And I'm actually going to be reporting on it. I'm going to be calling back in and talking to Eddie about it.
Oh, great.
What's happening
great.
Down
yes.
there.
Yes.
Yep.
That'll be good.
Yep.
That'll be good.
Well, yeah, we're excited to go. We're happy to be a part of that. So I'm going down with some of the other ladies in the Order of Confederate Rose, and we'll be down
well,
there.
Well, that's a very vital point there. We're going to have to join together with these different Confederate, conservative, Christian organizations and not have people say, well, if I didn't think of the idea, I'm not going to allow anybody else to come in on this. This is our show, and that's the way we're going to do it. So
we have had a lot of some of that, I should say, but we have to let people know we're on your side. We want to be, you know, your workers if you need us to. You know, we can call people in to help you. You just tell us what to do, or you just tell us what you need, and we'll do it. We'll be there. The other thing is running our own candidates in local and state elections, getting
yes.
into everybody, you know, that think like we do, that we have a voice. Because
Andy,
we have to go to a quick break.
We have to go to our
okay,
first
I
commercial
hear Eddie
break. We'll be
acid
right
rock
back.
Music there in the background, so we're gonna have to take a break.
That's right. That's that rock music, man. Be right back, folks.
The spirit of the American West is alive and well in Range Magazine, the award-winning quarterly devoted to the issues of the American West. Each issue contains informative articles, breathtaking imagery, as well as the culture of cowboy spirit today, and gift ideas like this year's Buckaroo calendar. Order online from rangemagazine.com. Loving Liberty Network salutes the spirit of the American West at rangemagazine.com.
Okay, listen up, people. I'm beating the bushes for a few good men. I don't want you boys the alt-right. I want the hardcore of the hard right. And I need you front and center, boots on the ground, at a minute's notice, in the streets, and I need your money. You know the problem that the whites of the world face. It's the all-too-real threat of global extermination. And you know what's going on in South Africa and Western Europe. And unless you're semi-comatose, you've already seen the first stages of white genocide unfolding in our country. Our culture is under constant full-scale attack by our enemy. The enemy never sleeps. They spend day and night wrecking the monuments and the graves of our beloved kin. They attack us physically everywhere we go. They've already taken the linen and our stone. Now they're coming after our flesh. And if you're not too squeamish, if you want to be part of the number one white advocacy group and the number one white civil defense group in the United States, then contact Eddie Abombadour Miller at BloodRiverRadio.com. And please, please donate. And God knows you need us as much as we need you. Thank you.
This is a battle between truth and deceit, a battle between forces that would enslave this country in darkness and between a media that wants to present you with the truth.
We are being censored. America's news outlets no longer provide the truth. 90% of news outlets in the United States are controlled by 6 corporations. The mission of the Epoch Times is to chase the truth, to ground all statements in fact.
TheEpochTimes.com.
Dear Blood River Radio, thank you for holding on. We got Miss Nancy Esposito in here. She's come from a great organization, the Southern Independence Organization. The Bitter Ender is the one that brought her to our attention. He met her at some other functions, and I hope she's found a home here at Blood River Radio. But without further ado, listen, we're going to take just a small, short break. We're going to get Big Sister before she beats her over the head with her stick. We're going to do our hourly tar and feather session. So go ahead, Sister Nancy. Who are we tar and feathering today?
Okay,
Okay, we're going to take a whole lot of sticky, hot, really black tar and a bunch of dirty feathers, and we're going to pile them on top of every one of the Biden crime family members. And we're going to attach them to this gay Jew Zelensky, president of Ukraine. Put them all together in a big pit. That's the tar and feathering for tonight or this Saturday. I wanted to bring up a couple of things. You know, you were talking about what you learn in school. And I can remember, I went to a conservative college in western part of Kentucky, and I remember the issues that they were bragging about was, like, in psychology, it's the Jew Freud. In art, it's the Jew Chagall. And the books that were written by Sal Bellows. These are the kinds of things that they were teaching us in a conservative college back in the 1960s. Things have certainly gone to pot since then. We got an essay sent in by one of our listeners, and this man, his name is Micah. He's in Communist Maryland, and he did write in a one-page essay based upon a Confederate topic, and he is going to receive a Blood River Radio honorary certificate. I have one right here in my hands that I designed because Eddie didn't have the wherewithal to do it, and it's an honorary degree in Confederate history, and it's going to be I've got it written out. It's going to be awarded to Micah by Blood River Radio. And it's going to be signed by the host, who is Eddie Miller, and the professor, Gene Andrews, who's on the speaker right now. I just want to bring up something. It's not exactly Confederate, but this week we celebrated the birth of one of the greatest men who ever was born, April the 20th of 1889, 134 years ago, Adolf Hitler was born.
Amen.
I guess that's something that I would like to remember. I would like people to remember.
Amen.
A man
to that.
Who cared. He cared about his people. He even cared about animals. He brought up Germany from dire distress and destruction into an economic tsunami. And he is one of the greatest men that ever lived, in my opinion. So anyway, back to the issues that we're fighting, which is an endless battle to keep the South above water. Thank you.
Yes. You know, also,
that's interesting that she brought that up, and I'd forgotten that date, but it just so happened that our fact checker, Richard, had given me a book to read, and I've been working on it for a few weeks now. It's called My Father, Joachim von Ribbentrop. The German Foreign Minister Experiences and Memoirs, and it's written by his son, Rudolf von Ribbentrop. And going through that, Eddie, and reading what was actually said in the 1930s, it just destroys pretty much everything we learned in school about who started World War II. Von Ribbentrop was trying his best to form an alliance between Germany and Britain.
Sure,
to stop
sure
the Bolsheviks and the Soviets from rolling across Europe all the way across Europe to the Channel, really. And everything he tried to do, the British turned him down. And then there's a whole chapter in the book talking about how Roosevelt, old Frankie Roosevelt, was doing everything he could do to provoke a war between Germany and Poland and telling the Brits, you know, you get the war started, and we'll supply the materials for you. The
line blue-blooded pig.
Yeah, and when you read,
we've received nothing but lies.
Well, this was the actual letters and documents and things that were written at that time. So it's not like it's after the fact propaganda. They give the dates and what was said and what von Ribbentrop said to the Polish ambassador, to the British ambassador, to the Americans, and they it's hard to believe that Roosevelt and Churchill were so adamant about starting a war with Germany simply because Germany was an economic rival of England.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And when you look at how they could imagine doing something like that and how many lives were going to be lost in a war of young men and civilians and how many hundreds and thousands of civilians that were going to be killed by a war like that was totally unnecessary. That is just, it's really sickening. And I've gotten to the part in the fall of 1939 when the Germans were asking the Brits and the French to do something about what the Poles were doing to the German people that were trapped inside of Poland. That section of Germany was given to them by the Versailles Treaty after World War One. And they turned them down, of course, because they wanted Poland to provoke an incident where they would have an excuse to go to war. So it's really an eye-opener. And it's the same thing we've suffered in the South. Our history has been written by our enemies.
I was going to say, that sounds familiar.
Yes. Our enemies are written by our history. And Nancy, you had that quote from Patrick Claiborne that if we lose this war, the history will be written by Northern, our children will be taught by Northern school teachers and taught to hate and despise our noble soldiers. So
well, you know,
I'll throw it all back to y'all then.
Really, I've always said that the situation in the South and the situation in Germany are very similar. We are hated as Southerners, and the Germans have a cross to bear eternally for the lives that have been created about them. These are probably the most magnificent people that ever lived, the Germans. And you want another book to read is Udo Walendi's book, The Guilt of Germany, which outlines every step that was taken by the no-good Winston Churchill and FDR to start a war with Poland, and to start a war with Poland that the English said that they would support. They did not want negotiations with the Germans at all, and the war was actually started by the British. The Germans, Adolf Hitler did not want a war with the English. He admired the English. He certainly never thought about a war with America. But anyway,
well,
the facts are hidden Southerners don't know the truth about their own history, and certainly we don't know the truth about Germany. It's all been covered up.
I'm sorry. Go ahead.
Go ahead, please.
Go ahead, Mindy.
I was just going to say a lot of people probably don't realize that Abraham Lincoln was an admirer of Marx. As a matter of fact, they corresponded. That was the beginning. That was really the beginning of everything that's coming to pass now. And they, you were right, they played the long game. And they did a lot by suppressing the South and suppressing Christian values and our heritage and indoctrinating them with totally un-American concepts.
Mm-hmm.
And a lot of them are bought into it.
Mm-hmm.
Absolutely. Absolutely. And just like you were saying, that certainly happened here. History certainly repeats, and those who fail to study it are doomed to repeat it. And how many times the Southern delegates that were sent to Washington to try to negotiate a peaceful solution to the separation of the Southern states, and what were they going to do about the forts at Fort Sumter and Charleston Harbor and Fort Pickens in Pensacola, try to work out some kind of peaceful settlement about that. And, of course, Lincoln wouldn't even meet with them. He made his Secretary of State, Seward, meet with him. He said, a state can't leave the Union. Once you're in for life. And he wouldn't even consider
Which
that the South
ridiculous.
Was a legitimate government. And so Seward had to negotiate, and he kept telling him, we'll work something out. We'll come back tomorrow. Well, if you can come back next week, come back Monday, and we'll get something worked out. So while they were stalling, Lincoln was having a fleet prepared in New York to sail to Charleston and provoke a war. And Lincoln admitted
he needed
a war, and he needed the South to fire the first shot.
Machine, we got that music. We got to go to another commercial break, and we'll be right back. When we come back, I want you to give the name of that author, the first name of Von Ribbentrop, when we come back. People, hold on to your seats. Be right back.
liberty across the land. You're listening to Liberty News Radio.
USA News, I'm John Schaefer. Americans in Sudan are being warned to shelter in place by the U.S. Embassy until further notice. Sudan's military say they've agreed to help evacuate citizens from the United States and other countries as fighting rages on between the army and a rival group in Khartoum. So far, 400 people have been killed, including one American. As people around the world celebrate Earth Day today, John Kerry, U.S. Special Envoy on Climate Issues, says he does see progress.
I'm surprised, pleasantly, on the positive side, by the amount of things that are just taking hold. We see remarkable progress on batteries and battery storage. We're seeing the price of wind and solar coming down still, even as the technology is getting better.
For his part, President Biden has signed an executive order directing federal agencies to focus on environmental justice initiatives. The Supreme Court is allowing the popular abortion drug mifepristone to remain on the market. Justices rejected a lower court ruling that would have banned the sale of the drug. The case will continue before the Fifth Circuit Court of Appeals next month. Mifepristone was approved by the FDA back in 2000. Eight people were wounded in a pair of shootings in Washington, D.C. Police trying to determine if those shootings were related. One of the injured is a 12-year-old girl, but none of the injuries are considered life-threatening. It's no day at the beach for many in Southern California. A major sewage spill has forced the closure of many popular Los Angeles County beaches.
It's going to be a nice weekend and can't go to the beach. It's also very trashed and polluted. So, yeah, it just sucks.
An estimated 250,000 gallons of sewage spilled into the L.A. River due to an equipment failure. And the Ten Commandments are coming to a school near you in Texas. The Texas Senate is passing a bill requiring the Ten Commandments to be on display in every public elementary and secondary school classroom. This is USA News.
Texting enrolls you into reoccurring automated text messages. Consent not required to purchase. Message and data rates may apply.
Hey, Dan, how you doing? Haven't seen you around the gym for a while.
Yeah, I've really fallen off. Since I turned 40, I just don't get the results I used to get.
Could be lower testosterone.
Lower T.
Yeah, I went through it a while back. Once you hit 40, your body has less free testosterone. I got Nugenix Total T, and it's made a huge difference for me.
I've seen that on TV. Is it for real?
Oh, yeah. The patented key ingredient is something called Testofen, which helps boost free and total testosterone levels to help you trim up and stay lean.
And it's made a difference for you?
Man, I feel like I'm in my 20s again. At work, in the gym, and in the bedroom.
Are they still giving out complimentary bottles for people to try it for themselves?
Yeah, you just need to send them a text.
Text STAPLE to 321-321 right now for your complimentary bottle of Nugenix Total T, the number one selling testosterone booster at GNC. Plus, text now and we'll include a bottle of Nugenix Thermo, our most powerful fat incinerator ever, to help you get back into shape fast, absolutely free. Text STAPLE to 321-321. That's STAPLE to 321-321.
Excuse me, Captain. I know this may sound silly, but can you fly?
Nope. Never had a lesson.
Yes, indeed, you.
Here, Blood River Radio family members, we've got two more segments to go, and we're going to get back to what we were originally talking about. We have Miss Mindy Esposito. And we had a couple of interjections there with tarring and feathering and other history lessons. But I would like to encourage you to get, there was a video, a movie. It's about 4.5 hours long. It's the name of it is The Greatest Story Never Told. You can get that through Money Tree Publishing. Dave Gahary owns Money Tree Publishing. He sent me that book, that movie. It's very depressing in a lot of ways. You have to watch it about 4 sessions. I'd dream about the dead guy. Maybe it's so. What they did to Germany, what they did to Hitler, it's just unbelievable, incomprehensible, and the lies, the pure lies that were told about the Germans and Hitler, going on to this day. We have Monica Schaefer and her brother Alfred, Monica being a host on this program. She was imprisoned in Germany because of lies, just pure lies. But anyway, we're going back to. Miss Mindy Esposito, and she was talking about Stone Mountain. She's going to call in next week. They're going to be in Stone Mountain, Georgia, to a big thing there. Maybe she might want to go back and recount that again, because if people like me, they have a short memory, and then Miss Mindy can take off and finished talking about her organization, the Southern Independence Organization, and other activities they've done, other activities they have in schedule in the future. Anything Miss Mindy would like to talk about? Go ahead, Miss Mindy.
Well, the last part of the conversation when Nancy was talking and Jean was talking, it is all relevant because it ties into exactly what's happening now. So it's important to know the history of what happened before and how we got to where we are today. But what we want, we actually feel like the South is the only part of the country that has a chance to make it. And what we're trying to do is what I've discussed before, take back our state and local governments. The state of Tennessee has a bill on the books right now. It's not been debated yet, but it's to refuse federal funds for education. And we're lobbying hard for that. We want that to take place. That gives us an end to get God back into the classrooms, to get Confederate history back into the classrooms, and Southern values. So that's a big thing we're doing. The state of Alabama wants to do away with all federal or all Confederate holidays. So we're trying to hit that so that they don't do that. Now, last week they did reject moving Robert E. Lee's birthday to the fall. They did knock that down. So we're good there. There's been a couple monuments saved. We're working on that. We're working really in every state, depending on what's on fire at the time. And again, trying to organize, bringing more people in. It's something that came about because I had so many of my friends were like, "What can we do? What can we do?" And I'm like, "Well, we just have to change it, because if we don't change it, it will be gone forever." I firmly believe we're the last generation that has the ability to turn this around. And if we have to fight in the courts, we finally have, the first time in my lifetime, we have a constitutional Supreme Court. So if we have to fight it, we'll fight it. And legally, we're nonviolent. We're a very peaceful group. We're non-racist. We're just trying to get back to our roots and what's important to Southerners, and have the kind of government that the Constitution, that all of our founding documents outlined. That's what our ancestors wanted, and that's what we want.
And that's what we're agenda to bring up there to strive for that. And I think there's so many people, not just in the South, but all over the country that want that. But you are right that I think maybe there are more of a concentration of those people in the South. And like I said, there are more of those people that are bailing out on California and Michigan and New York and going to where they see that the local government has some influence in their life, and maybe they're not as dependent on the axis of evil empire in Washington as other parts of the country are. But the bad part is, you know, we're also getting some of these people down here that want to vote just like they did when they left these rotten cities and parts of the country. And we certainly don't want our section of the country turned into what they ran away from.
We've been infiltrated somewhat.
Yeah. Bring up, when you talk about the southern states leaving, declaring their independence, whether it's state by state or by a whole region, they say, I've had people say that were really for us and believe what we did, and they say, well, the Civil War settled secession. You know, you can't do that anymore. And I said, no. The Civil War settled was that might makes right. Mm-hmm. And if you have an enemy that's willing to make war against civilians, to total warfare, destroy the economy, starve the people to death, murder civilians, murder prisoners of war, that's the only thing it proves, that if you have a really, really brutal enemy that outnumbers you about 21 million to 9 million, they can pretty much do what they want to and force you to...
And the sad part was it was our own government. It was our own. It was our own country that turned, you know, unconstitutionally started a war for money. It was always about money.
It always is.
And
since way back when Ooglog hit Moogog over the head with a dinosaur bone out in front of the cave, it's been about money. You look at the real causes of any conflict, and it's either, you know, who controls the money or who's trying to get the money. And that's pretty much what it boils down to. So you follow the money trail, and it's going to tell you a lot about the causes of these different conflicts all around the world, not just here, but all over. Like Eddie's talking about the bitter enders in South Africa fighting against the British government. The British didn't care about South Africa until they found out that there were gold and all the diamonds and things that were there. And then all of a sudden that became very important to the British to drive the Dutch and the Boers out of there, and some lame excuse, whatever it was, to just go out in there and take the country away from them. So,
one thing, this is a little bit off topic, but one thing before I forget, I wanted to say, I talk a lot to a lot of people, but I wanted to let you know that our chairman of the board right now is Everett Bolin. And he's out of North Carolina, and he was at our meeting a couple of weeks ago, and he's a great guy and very knowledgeable. So he's another person that he's actually the leader of our group right now. So I just wanted to make that clear.
Oh, well, great. Outstanding. Yes. Well, we don't mind that in Tennessee. We used to be part of North Carolina, so that's okay with us.
Yeah. They got a great group of guys over there.
Yes, well,
you know
we
what?
Had,
we have...
We
have a lot. You'd be surprised how many Yankees we have that support this show. In fact, the Bitter Ender knows one of them.
It comes to
Frank Hoatt, and way up north. When me and my daughter were there back in November, they gave a great dinner. They rented this place, a great German restaurant in Manhattan. And I mean, there was no expense spared. It was beautiful, and had a pretty good sized crowd came there. And you know what, Gene? They said, and all of them at one, they just revere the South. I mean, they talk about the South like we talk about General Lee. I mean, and one of them wasn't so in reverence of the South. He still looked up to us and admires us. But I mean, they're like fanatics, and they make a lot of people in Memphis look like. Well, it looks like most of the people here in Memphis are what we call cucks, self-hating whites, really communists. Yeah. Like Mindy said, they're damn communists. But anyway, I just want to throw that out there. We have a lot of supporters from New Jersey, in New York.
Oh yeah,
Ohio,
yeah.
Go ahead.
We've always said there's a difference between a northerner, and that's a person that just because of bad luck they were born north of the Mason-Dixon line.
That's right.
Yep.
And a Yankee.
Exactly.
The Yankee, the jet engines haven't stopped whining at the gate until they start whining about everything that's wrong down here. So, you know, there's a big difference.
You're absolutely right.
We do have a lot of people.
I have to explain that a lot.
You mentioned the copperhead.
Because I'll tell people,
we
talk about...
I'm sorry, go ahead. Well, I was just going to say, one of our supporters identifies himself as a copperhead. And he's from New York. But you go ahead, Miss Mindy. Go ahead. I'm going to shut up now. I just want to interject that.
You're absolutely right. And I have to explain.
Well, there goes the music. We got to get to our last break, Miss Mindy. And when we come back from this last break, we'll go right back to you again. Because you're the guest. You're the honored guest. Be right back, folks.
Have you ever had great honey? No, I mean really good, all-natural, raw honey. Well, now you can, thanks to localhoneyman.com. We can ship out our locally made honey all across the U.S. So don't worry, you won't miss out. Plus, Local Honeyman has so many different flavors, like Utah Wildflower, High Desert Delight, Happy Valley, and Blackberry, just to name a few. So purchase your delicious raw honey today at localhoneyman.com.
Blood River Radio is the only news media in the United States whose sole purpose of being is to fight against the ever-rising tide of global white genocide, both soft and hard genocide, whether it is in the form of ethnic cleansing via the current massive invasion of non-white, non-Christian hordes that are overwhelming the once all-white nations of Western Europe, the United Kingdom, Canada, Australia, New Zealand, and the United States, or via the hard genocide in South Africa, where the rape, murder, and torture of whites is an ongoing daily occurrence. Though we are a Christian brotherhood, we will cooperate with other groups in our operations if it will shorten our people's casualty list. We further pledge to you to leave the radio studio at every opportunity and take it to our churches, to our universities, and most importantly, we promise to occupy the streets. However, none of our mission can succeed without funding. Please help us all that you can and donate to our cause by going to www.bloodriverradio.com.
Do you treasure your liberty? Well, at LovingLiberty.net, we most certainly do. And we want to help protect your liberty, too. Become part of the family. Everyone knows that the core of any society is the family. Therefore, the government should foster and protect the integrity of its family, we the people. Won't you join us as a Loving Liberty sponsor to help us promote the principles in the 5,000-year leap? Let's restore the miracle that changed the world at LovingLiberty.net.
What we've got here is failure to communicate. Some men you just can't reach.
Dear Blood River Radio family, we must be kind of hard-headed here because like the old prison guard and Cool Hand Luke, we can't be reached too
good. Brother Martin, that's great character actor.
That's I should have known the bitter end of it now. But anyways, Miss Mindy's the guest. Miss Mindy, this is the last segment of the last hour. We have a three-hour program, so go ahead and finish up, do what you want to do, and the bitter ender will be he'll be finishing the interview with you. So go ahead, Mindy and bitter ender.
No, Mindy, go ahead.
Well, just to
your time.
Go ahead. Oh, I was just going to say, you know, what we were talking about during the last segment about the difference between a northerner and a Yankee, and I've actually had to explain that a lot because I'll have confrontations with Yankees a lot, a great deal of the time, and I'll maybe make a comment on social media or something, and they're like, "Hey, wait a minute, you know, we're on your side. We're not all like that." And I'm like, "Well, no." And I'll explain, a Yankee is someone who knows so much about things that aren't true.
Yes.
Whereas a northerner person, a person who's born in the north, and I'll have people say, "Please take us with you," and I'm like, "You're welcome. Anybody who wants to join with us, we welcome you." And yeah, we call them copperheads, just because that was the original definition of northerners, usually northern Democrats at the time, who were southern sympathizers. So,
yeah, and they were.
We hope it spreads.
The thing they're always smeared with is that they were traitors to the northern government, Lincoln's government, but they weren't. They didn't want to overthrow the government. They just wanted the government to get out of an illegal war against the South. They thought it was costing too much money and certainly costing too many lives for something that they didn't think was right from the get-go, from the start. And I always try to point this out to people. I have a lot of fun with these people that think they know it all. They say, "Well, if you don't like the United States, why don't you just leave?" And I said, "Well, weren't you asleep? Were you asleep in history class?" I said, "We tried to leave for 4 years, and we killed nearly 390,000 of your soldiers and maimed and crippled another 200,000 and even got rid of the war criminal president. And y'all just can't take a hint, can you?" You know, we tried to leave. And the southern states voted to be a part of the Confederate States. Well, first they voted to be out of the United States. Then
they seceded first, and
yes.
then they formed the Confederacy. None of that is treason. None of it.
No, not a bit.
It would be. And I still get that today. You're traitors or traitors. And like, what is your definition of traitor? Because that's not what this is. We never wanted to overthrow the U.S. government. We just want it
absolutely
to be left not alone.
Yeah.
To to live our
Jefferson
lives.
What Jefferson Davis said,
absolutely,
all we ask is that we be left alone. And we yeah are in the United States today at the point of a gun, because our country
yes
was invaded, and we were forced to join. And then the Reconstruction government set up certain people that could and couldn't vote after the war, and they had to, you know, once again, at the point of a gun, vote to be back in the United States. But that was not a choice of their free will by any stretch of the imagination back then. So, but it's like you said, the two or three generations of Americans have been so dumbed down by our educational system, they really don't know the causes of the war in 1861 or the causes of secession in 1860 and 1861. And
no,
they just...
No, they don't.
You know, too many people
they just
are like my friends.
They just spelled it all off.
And my friend said, all people care about today are their three B's, their bass boat, their ball games, and beer. And then that's it. And beyond that, you know, if it doesn't really affect them and their job or something like that, they just kind of are oblivious to the horrible disaster that we have rolling over, steamrolling over us. And it'll only get worse with this collection of clowns that they've got in Washington today. And I don't know. I really believe what you say and what the League of the South says, that the only way we're going to get any rights in the South is just to leave. And hopefully we can get off the Titanic before it sinks. So,
well, hopefully we can peacefully work within the Constitution and make changes to make the South more independent than it is now. We'd also like to repeal the 17th Amendment because I think the states gave up a lot when they changed that to where the senators are voted by the people and not by the states, because the states
yes
are actually supposed to represent the people of their state. And
mm-hmm
and our state, if you're a citizen of a state, then you're the people. You are in charge. You run the show. And I think that we gave up a lot when they added the 17th Amendment. I think it should be repealed. And today, the fanatics, the ones who are so intent on putting us down, all they do is they spout off racist and they spout off traitor and all these things that aren't true. The Confederate Army was
racist,
the first. Go ahead.
And racist is a crutch that they'll hobble on for the next 500 years. And I've been in a lot of debates with these people. And once they start calling you a racist or a white supremacist, I say, well, thank you for conceding the debate. It's over, and thank you for recognizing that we won. Because if all they can do is call you names, then they have
nothing
to stand on. They can't stand on facts. And I said, you're going to have to come up with better names than that. And I said, I was in boot camp in the Marine Corps, and I've been called names that you've never heard in your life. So you're going to have to do a better job than that. Right there.
You know,
you need a dictionary to look it up.
Yeah.
Go ahead.
I always say that I'm a Confederate. You can't hurt my feelings. What else are you going to do to us, you know?
Well, you've done enough. What else
that's
can
great
you do? That's a great point.
But the truth of the matter is there were all nationalities who were with the South. And different religions, including the Native Americans. You know, the Cherokee and the Choctaw were big bands in the Confederate Army. We had Italians, we had Irish, we had blacks. The Confederate Army had black soldiers long before the Union did. Now, granted, not in the numbers that the Union did.
Yeah, well, the Confederate Army was integrated in 1861. The U.S. Army didn't get around to it. What was Harry Truman, 1948 or 49, somewhere along there.
And they discount that whenever you bring that up.
No, they don't want to hear that. So
no, they said they were slaves. They didn't have a choice, and that's not true. There were a lot of freemen of color who were in the Confederate Army, and then there were quite a few, including the 47 that Forrest took with him, that they were given a choice: ride with him, and you'll get your freedom. And if we win, I'll give you your freedom. If not, you'll be free anyway. And all but two of them stayed with him for the entire war.
Yeah, because about that second or third time he got wounded, he called them together and he told him, he said, "Boys, I don't think I'm going to make it to the end of the war. And I promised Mrs. Forrest you'd get your freedom. You're free to go now, but we really need your help and appreciate it if you'd stick it out with us." And like you said, they were 98% or whatever it is stayed with him. So they were in the Confederate Army. They couldn't get away. Well, they don't know much about Forrest. He spent as much time behind the Union lines as he did behind the Confederate lines. They could have just walked half a mile down the road and they were gone. So
said there was no better. Yeah. Forrest even said there were no better soldiers anywhere. So they paint him as an evil racist, and he wasn't. That wasn't what he was about at all. And over 3,000 blacks attended his funeral. So, that was just on the topic of Yankees and Northerners, and there is a difference. And I do spend a considerable amount of time explaining that.
Miss Minnie, before we forget, do you have a website? How can people get in touch with you? And the second part of the question, do you have any chapters up north of the Mason-Dixon line? But, give us your contact, how people can get in touch with maybe they might want to join the Southern Independent Organization. So go ahead.
Well, right now we're a fairly new organization. Right now we're working on our webpage, and we want our website to be a place where everybody, all different groups can come in and tell us what's going on, what they're doing, what they're involved in, what their upcoming events. Even in the SVC, the camps pretty much are independent, so nobody knows what's happening at the camp a state over. So we want everybody to be able to come into our website and post all of their information as well. So it's kind of like, oh, what's going on with the Confederacy today? Well, let's go to the Southern Independence Association's website and see what's going on. But that's in the works. That's a little.
A national clearinghouse to post all of this. And I think that's a great idea.
I've called it a clearinghouse, but we say kind of an umbrella organization, and it doesn't belong to us, to me, or to Everett, or to the anybody. It's our group. It's we the people of the South that all have a common interest in what happens. But right now we have a Southern Independence Association group on Facebook and on MeWe. We also have a presence on Twitter and Gab and Truth Social. But I can be reached at, I give my telephone number, 615-957-0466. It's better to text because it's always on silent, but I'll be happy to answer any questions. And my email address is M Esposito. That's MESPOSITO 6061@gmail.com. But most of our information is posted on a daily basis on MeWe, and on Facebook, on the Southern Independence Association.
So that
and
M
that's where
Esposito.
Everybody chimes in.
MESPOSITO 6061@gmail.com.
Yes.
Great.
That's correct.
Outstanding.
Good deal.
Well, I'm glad you got that information out, and I hope the texts coming in are just burning the phone up, that people wanting to join. So I hope this has been
and the Southern Independence Association has a life of its own. We do have people coming to us. It didn't take a lot of effort because we've all been hungry for it. We've all been like, we can't just stand by and watch this happen. We have to act.
Will you be at the Forrest Homecoming?
Commend you for what you're doing. It's fantastic. I'm really thinking you've got a lot of knowledge of the history.
You ought to make plans to come to the Forrest
much.
Homecoming, too. Gene's going to have that. He can
tell
you all
definitely.
About that. That'll be June 17th.
I'm definitely
17th.
There.
Oh, great.
Look forward to seeing all of y'all.
Thank you so much. You're very welcome. Thank you so much for coming on, Mindy and Bitterender and Nancy. Thank y'all very, very much. Y'all just made this program. I've just been bringing people in and out of the breaks and trying to just peek my little fuzzball sweet self. But anyway, y'all, dear Blood River Radio family, tune in same time, same place next week, the 29th of April. We'll be, if we're not in jail, if we're not bombed by the Russians or et cetera, we'll be here. So good night, everybody. And thank you, Miss Lizzie, for running the board flawlessly like you always do. Good night, everybody.